Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 41. Listen to these words that come from the day of Pentecost. I know we're not at Pentecost yet, but I want to look at the end of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the very first Christian sermon. So, starting in verse 36 of Acts chapter 2. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit descends upon the church, and those which the scripture tells us there were only about 120 of them at that point in time. And the Holy Spirit descends upon them, and they start speaking in tongues, the tongues not being just not being understandable. Okay, it was not a babbling. It was not just spare words put together. It was actually a message. And that message, people were speaking in known languages, the way I understand the scripture. And as they were speaking, the people who had come from far off and knew those languages and came together, they said, "How are these people speaking in a language I can understand? Because I know they don't know it." That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit brought words through people in known languages for other people to hear. Now, sometimes I've wondered, is that miracle that happens that day, is it on the tongue or is it in the ear? And I've never been able to nail that down. Was it that these people were actually speaking these known languages, or was it that people were hearing what they were speaking in their own language and could understand it? You see, they're talking about Jesus Christ, and Peter even finishes his Christian sermon. He finishes the first Christian sermon by declaring Jesus both Lord and Messiah. Now, I do want you to understand, you've heard me talk about this before, Lord and Messiah is two different things. And for me, it was two different decisions years apart. Okay? Messiah means the one anointed by God. The Greek word for that is Christ. Messiah being the Hebrew word. Okay? If I translate either one of them, it actually means the one anointed by God. Okay? The one who is the Savior. Savior is one decision that people need to make in their lives. But the second decision is that they need to make Jesus Lord. And for me, when the Lord asks me to do something, I can't ever say no. Because if Jesus is my Lord and asks me to do something, for me to say no would be to say, "You're not my Lord." Because if you are my Lord, then I will do what you ask. I encourage you, if you haven't made that decision, to really do some thinking about that. Okay? Because the Lord wants you to do certain things in the midst of this world. And I have this underlying belief and understanding that the Lord would never ask me to do anything that is harmful to me or that is not good for me. So if the Lord is only going to ask me to do good things and things that are beneficial to me and to other people, why would I ever say no? Can't do that. I don't know how to do that. Maybe you remember Moses' story because he told God, I can't do that. Didn't he? Before the burning bush, God said, I want you to go back to Egypt and speak for me. And what did Moses say? Blah, 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 blah. I'm not a speaker, Lord. And the Lord says, who made tongues? So when the Lord comes to you and asks you to do something, the Lord will help you to be able to do that. But in this case, Peter finishes the Christian sermon by declaring Jesus both Lord and Messiah. Something that you won't see here because I didn't read his whole sermon, and we'll look at that some other time. He never gives an invitation at the end of the sermon. He never gives an invitation. I want you to recognize that fact. And how do I know that? I know that by what happens next. That's how I know that he doesn't give an invitation. Verse 37, let me read that for you again. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter doesn't give them something to do at the end of the sermon. He doesn't tell them this is a time that you can come forward and accept Jesus as your Messiah and Lord. He just stops. And it says that the people were cut to the heart. This message that Peter preaches that day cuts people to the very depths of their hearts because they realize they must respond. The message that he just shared with us tells me I need to do something. See, it cut to their hearts. It cut quite deeply because they were like, what do we do? You gave us a message and proved to us that Jesus is the Messiah and Lord, and you didn't tell us, Peter, what to do. He, in many ways, is following how Jesus taught. Because I want you to go back and think about Jesus' parables. Does he give them the answer to every parable? And what that parable means for them and what they're to do? Jesus just leaves the parable with them. And the parable is supposed to be disturbing enough that I do something with it. Not just I go, well, that was a good story. The parable is supposed to just upset my apple cart. And it's supposed to make me stop and say, there's something I need to do. So Peter is following the way that Jesus taught. He just stops the sermon. And the people are so cut to the heart by it that they say, what do we do about this? We can understand with what you shared to us, there's a response that we must make. But we don't know what that response is. And we don't know how to respond. So the people asked Peter and the apostles, what shall we do? Fantastic, wonderful message. What should we do with it? You didn't tell us. Peter turns to them and he says the answer is to repent and be baptized. Now, you've heard me talk about repent before. Repent is not just sitting down and feeling sorrowful for what you did. That's not repent. That's part of repent, but that's not the whole thing. Repent is not just to sit down and go, I feel bad for what I did and I shouldn't have done what I did. To repent is to have that feeling and then go, what am I going to do instead? How am I going to turn away from living that way to a new way of life? And what will I do with that? That's what repent is. Repent is not just a feeling. And sometimes I think that's what we think. Oh, I repented of my sins. I felt bad about what I did. To repent means that I stop walking in this direction and that I turn away from walking in this direction and I walk in the right direction. That's what repent means. It's an action. It's not just a feeling. It's an action. It's a feeling that leads to an action. And then Peter says, be baptized. I'm going to put this in different words. The answer is turn from walking your way, follow the commandments of God, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. This is what Peter tells them. Repent and be baptized. And what happens? Repent is turning away from following your own ways. I mean, how many people do you know that are always right? You know any of those people? Don't mention names, Jerry. That might get you in trouble. Turn away from your own way. That's the first thing that you've got to do in responding. The second thing you've got to do is you've got to decide that you're going to follow the commands of God. That you're no longer going to walk the way that you chose to walk, but you're going to walk the way that God's asking you to walk. Now, is that a struggle? Are you awake? Is that a struggle? Okay, come and listen to John share with us how to walk through that as we look at the Rest and War book, because that's what that book's about. It's a struggle. So how will I live and how will I go forward? That's one of the reasons we're studying that book. How will I live? How will I go forward? How will I know? The biggest thing that we learned yesterday was something that I learned from reading The Life of Anthony by Athanasius. I've only read parts of it, but the part that I read one day that just absolutely floored me. I should have brought it in here with me so I could read. It's only a paragraph, so I'm just going to paraphrase what was in that paragraph. Saint Anthony was a desert father that lived out in the Egyptian desert, and he was seeking to grow closer to God. And as he was seeking to grow closer to God, he reports that one day Satan came to him. And Satan said to him, "Why do you Christians bother me so much? Why do you Christians pick on me and blame me for so many things?" And Satan said this to Saint Anthony, "I have no power, and I can't do anything against a Christian. You do it against yourself. I can't do it." Satan's power was defeated at the cross. Did you hear the word I used? Defeated. And I think sometimes when we give Satan credit for messing with me, I gave him more credit than he's due. Because I don't think he can unless I let him. And that was one of the things that we learned in that book yesterday. Satan has been defeated and has no power against us. And yet sometimes we give him credit for doing things against us. How does he do that if he has no power? If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can walk the ways of God. Because Satan has been defeated. You hear me? Defeated. We allow some of those things to happen. I can make a different choice, and I can choose to stop walking my way, and I can walk the ways of God. And I know that many people would describe the ways of God as a bunch of do's and a bunch of don'ts. Because that's what it says, right? Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. You know those do's and don'ts are actually, if you live within these boundaries, things will be better for you. It's kind of boundaries that are set up. And God says if you cross over this boundary, it's going to cause problems. Maybe not only for you, but also for somebody else. That's what the idea of those things are. So when we say God's commandments are too hard, too difficult, I'm not sure I want to follow them. We're actually saying, God, you don't know, and you can't get it right. Anybody here willing to sit in front of God and say, God, you don't know, and you can't get it right? Because God says, I'm giving you these to help you understand. It's not I'm taking the fun out of things. The fun exists inside the boundaries, not outside. The fun that you think you might be having outside the boundaries is hurting you and hurting other people. So what does Peter say the response is? The response is to return from your ways and turn to God's ways. And then what does it say? It says, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is 100% of God that lives within you. Are you listening to what the Holy Spirit's telling you? Are you hearing at times, step out here? No, that's too uncomfortable. That's outside my comfort zone, Lord. But guess what? It's inside the boundaries. And God says when you step outside your comfort zone, it's going to be a blessing to you and it will be a blessing to other people. So when we're not willing to follow God, how many of you, let me ask it this way. How many of you, raise your hand, okay? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you want more blessings from God? Okay, we're about unanimous there, I think. And God says, if you live this way, I guarantee you more blessings. Now, how many of you are willing to go, God, that's too hard. I'm not going to do it. In this sense, you're saying, I don't need any more blessings. Are you willing to look at God and say, I've gotten enough blessings already and I don't want any more? Anybody here willing to do that? When God asks you to participate and do something somewhere, and the Holy Spirit leads and guides you to do something, it's for you to receive more blessings and for other people to receive more blessings. So when I don't live the way that God wants me to live, I not only cheat myself out of blessings, but I cheat other people out of blessings. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to tell God, I've gotten enough blessings already? Don't need any more. Folks, this is the way I think about it when I have to make decisions. And God asked me, here's where I need you to go. Here's where I need you to step. Here's what I need you to say. It's really, really easy sometimes to say, I don't want to do that today. Anybody ever had that feeling? I don't want to do that today, God. I've had it. I wish I could tell you going to seminary and learning everything at seminary solved all those issues. You know what it showed me? That there's a lot more issues than I knew there was. That's what seminary showed me. There's a lot more things I need to grow in. There's a lot more changes I need to make. And I need to stop walking my own way. And I need to walk God's way. And I need to listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling me. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead me wrong. Never. And if that's true, why would I go, nope, don't want to listen to that? The understanding behind this whole sermon is probably one of my greatest passions about ministry. Because many today fail to allow the message of God deep within their hearts, and they also fail to respond. Many people don't let God's word deep within their hearts. And if they do, they fail to respond. I've seen that in almost every church I've spoken in. The people don't let the word of God deep within their hearts. And if they do, then they don't respond oftentimes. Because that puts them on the spot. That makes them uncomfortable. I mean, goodness gracious, I can't go forward at the end of the worship service because then people will be wondering what I did wrong this week and why I had to go forward. Right? If I go forward and ask for a prayer or make a commitment in any way whatsoever, people are going to think I messed up that week and they're going to be trying to find out how I messed up. Do you see what happened here? What happened here was the message cut the people deep in their hearts. And they asked Peter, what do we have to do to respond to this? What do we have to do? And how many people responded that day? Come on, say it. I heard it. 3,000 people. The church that day went from 120 people to 3,120. Now, is that not fantastic? Don't get too excited. Is that not fantastic? You know what? That's not good enough. If all the people who had lived on earth responded 3,000 people at a time, we wouldn't get through the line for over 4,000 years. And nobody can die while they're waiting in line, by the way. 3,000 people is not enough. And for most churches, what are they seeing? Nobody make a response. June 7th, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. It's going to be an intro to experiencing God. A course is going to last 13 weeks. That whole course is about when you hear God speak to you, you have to respond. You have to respond. That course changed my life dynamically, and I use what I learned in that course 35 years ago every day of my life. Every day. Folks, I remember the day. I was sitting in Bay Lake Pines Park on a wall. And I remember the day that God spoke to me and said, I need you to be a pastor. And I had a choice. I could have said no. Well, actually, I did. And God kept talking. And God kept saying. And God kept speaking to me till I responded. I want to tell you this. God is speaking to you right now. And God is asking you to make a response somehow, some way, to what God's saying to you. It's up to you how you respond. And God will let you make a decision, yes or no. And God will even let you waffle and go, I don't know yet. That day that I sat on that wall and heard that clearly from God, that was an end of a 3-year process of me telling God, no, 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 no. Guess what I said that day? Can you figure it out? God's going to continue to bring the message to you till you respond. You can turn a deaf ear to it. And it may be something that's cutting deep in your heart right now. And you can make the decision to not going to do it. Probably the saddest thing about ministry right now is that especially people being called to be pastors are refusing to listen. People called to be teachers are refusing to listen. And they're coming up with a whole list of excuses. I want to ask you to spend some time thinking about it. I hope to retire within the next 10 years. And when I do, there may not be somebody to fill my place. Because churches aren't finding pastors now. Churches aren't finding Sunday school teachers. Churches aren't finding people that are willing to walk alongside somebody else and help them to know how to respond because they don't want to respond. I want to see what happened here. Peter just left them hanging. And it bothered them so much, they said, what do we do with this? And I just want to ask you, are you letting God do the same to you? Are you responding to God's invitation to travel deeper on a spiritual journey? Are you responding? I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that God's calling every one of you to be a pastor. But God's calling you to take a deeper role in the kingdom of God. A role deeper than you've ever taken before. And everything that we're studying here at the church now is asking you to respond. How will you? Or will you just let it go? And I just want to tell you, if you're going to let it go, you will miss some of the best blessings that you could ever receive. And I just want to ask you, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to miss blessings because you refuse to respond? Let's pray. Lord, your word should confront us. Sometimes it's easy to look at these scriptures and go, you know, that's not about me. It's about other people. But the truth is, Lord, that you are speaking to us. And you are asking us to take a deeper role spiritually for our own sakes and for the sakes of people in this world that don't know you. So, Lord, it may not be today that we make the response we need, because I know it took me 3 years. But Lord, help us to think about it, to spend time praying about it, to search things out, and to be honest with you and with ourselves. So Lord, help each and every one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.